I had a blow-up mattress that Mama filled with air, and she built a little bedroom for herself on the floor of my living room. She took care of everything, the grocery list, the phone calls, even the bills. She was considerate and let me sleep and sleep and sleep some more. Again, we both trusted that my brain knew what it needed in order for it to mend itself. As long as I was not sleeping due to depression, we respected the healing power of sleep. Once home, we let my brain set its own routine. I would sleep for about 6 hours and then be awake for about 20 minutes. Generally, the average length of time for a complete sleep cycle is 90 to 110 minutes. If I was awakened prematurely by external forces, I had to go back to sleep and start that cycle over. Otherwise, I would wake up with a severe headache, an irritable attitude, and not be able to either sort through stimulation or focus my attention. To protect my sleep, I slept with earplugs, and Gigi turned the TV and phone down low. After a few days of intense sleeping, my energy reservoirs enabled me to remain awake for longer periods of time. Mama was a real taskmaster, and there was no wasted time or energy. When I was awake, I was a sponge for learning, and she either put something in my hands for me to do or exercised my body. Yet, when I was ready to sleep, we honored that my brain had reached its maximum level of input, and we put it to bed so it could rest and integrate. Exploring life and recovering files with Gigi was fabulous fun. She learned quickly that there was no point in asking me yes-no questions if she really wanted to know what I was thinking. It was way too easy for me to zone out about something that I didn't really care about and just BS her. To make sure she had my attention, and I was actually working my mind, she asked me multiple-choice questions. For lunch, she would say, "You can have minestrone soup." And then I would go on a search in my brain to figure out what minestrone soup was. Once I understood what that option was, then she would proceed with another choice. Or, "You can have a grilled cheese sandwich." Again, I would explore my brain for what a grilled cheese sandwich was. Once the image and understanding came to me, she went on. Or, "You can have tuna salad." I remember pondering, "Tuna, tuna, tuna," and no image or understanding came into my mind. So I queried, "Tuna?" Mama countered, "Tuna fish from the ocean, a white meat mixed with mayonnaise, onion, and celery." Since I could not find the file for tuna salad, that's what we chose for lunch. That was our strategy. If I couldn't find the old file, we made it a point to make a new one. The telephone rang all the time, and Gigi was a real trooper at keeping everyone abreast of our daily successes. It was important that she had people to talk to about how well things were going, and it was helpful to me to have her positive attitude cheering me on. Day after day, she shared stories that would remind me about how far we had come. Occasionally, friends came to visit, but Gigi recognized that social exchange used up my energy reserve and left me totally drained and not interested in working. She made the executive decision that getting my mind back was more important than visitation, so she stood as the guard at my door and strictly limited my social time. TV was also a terrible energy drain, and I couldn't speak on the phone because I was completely dependent on the visual cues of lip reading. We were both respectful of what I needed to do, or not do, to recover. Somehow we innately understood that I needed to heal my brain and challenge my neurological systems as quickly as possible. Although my neurons were stunned, technically very few of them had actually died. I would not have any official speech, occupational, or physical therapy until a couple of weeks after my surgery, and in the meantime, my neurons were hungry to learn. Neurons either thrive when connected in circuit with other neurons, or they die when they sit in isolation without stimulation. Gigi and I were both highly motivated to get my brain back, so we took advantage of every moment and every precious ounce of energy. My friend Steve had two little girls, so he brought me a collection of their books and toys. Included in the bag were children's puzzles and games. Gigi was now armed with a repertoire of age-appropriate things for me to do, and it was her policy that if I was awake and had any energy at all, she worked me. My energy reserve did not discriminate between cognitive versus physical activity. Energy use was energy use, so we had to create a balanced strategy for recovering everything. As soon as I was able to walk around my apartment with some assistance, Gigi took me on a tour of my life. We began in the art space, as I had an entire room set up for cutting stained glass. As I looked around the room, I was amazed. All of this gloriously beautiful glass. How delightful. I was an artist. And then she took me into my music room. When I strummed the strings on my guitar and then my cello, I marveled at the magic in my life. I wanted to recover.